free ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. Joseph Corr is my name from Stats Perform Media. I'm joined by Andrew Kenyon. Andrew, say hello.
Hello. Good to be back. I've listened eagerly to your shows over the last few weeks. Now, I've got to go back on the microphone. I don't know how to do it anymore. I've lost my mojo.
When was the last time you were on? You missed last week.
Yeah.
I think it was three weeks ago.
It was two episodes, maybe 3 weeks. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice of you to have me back, though. I thought maybe I'd done something wrong.
Not at all. No, scheduling conflicts and cramming these out. I mean, this schedule and this season has been really tough to find the time.
It's hard.
But if you do find some free time out there, everybody, fill it with a good book. And there's no better book than Body Nodger's Marvelous. And you can buy that book via the link in the description, about 30-odd quid. I've got 3 copies left.
Once they're gone, that's it. I thought you were down to 2.
Well, I've got 3, but one I might give as a gift. But if someone buys it, I won't give it as a gift. You know, that's how it works. What else do we do here? Booktopia. Tell me about Booktopia, Andrew.
Booktopia is a great place where you can buy wonderful books such as Marvelous. But your copy of Marvelous from Booktopia will not have an imprint and a signature inside the front cover. So don't buy it from Booktopia. Don't buy that book from Booktopia. Buy that from Joe. Every other book, buy it from Booktopia using Joe's link.
And that would be much appreciated. And then Patreon. If you really like the show, become a Patreon member and become a subscriber. You don't really get a lot for it, but good vibes, I'd like to think. Good karma. Well, so
yeah, and like I seem to continuously say, I'm paying for it. And like I'm here talking about it all the time. Like, why am I paying? I'm paying not even myself. So if I can do it, you can do it.
That's very kind. All right, what are we going to talk about today? And if I can surmise and if I forget anything, Andrew, jump in.
Yeah.
We're talking about stadium TV rankings on camera.
I'm excited.
We're talking about
that
Josh Giddey, Magne, Perth Wildcats, Melbourne. I think that has to be spoken about. What else?
The run home, I think.
The run's home. Yeah.
What have we got? What have we got to look forward to? We're almost at the end of this long, arduous season.
How many games are left? About just under 9.
Yeah, about that per team.
So this is it. These teams are rock solid. Melbourne can't do anything. They're foregoing their second import slot.
Yeah, they're done. They've gone for Dave Anderson. Did you see that?
Is that a? I'll start. Yeah, I did see that. Is that a white flag?
I don't know.
I mean, he is a 40-year-old man. Like, he won't play. Bless him. He's got a great resume, but I heard people saying like, oh, his experience will really help the locker room. He was on Illawarra last year and they won 5 games. A much worse roster, I'll concede, but he's not going to be on the floor. There's only so much you can say in the locker room. You need made baskets and rebounds, or at least that's certainly what they needed in the game against Perth Wildcats.
Yeah, I think they were hoping to get Magne as well. It fell through and they're like, well, we've got this lump of cash. We can't get an import.
But why wouldn't they get an import?
I think it would take too long. I think it's the quarantine plus everything else. You wouldn't play enough games.
But they've had all season.
You've got to play 9 games. You've got to play 9 games. Oh, yeah. They have had all season.
I think they've really missed the boat. But we'll talk about then some more in a little bit. Where do you want to start? We'll come back to Perth and Melbourne and that whole.
Well, let's get the Will Magne situation clear away. Okay.
We've both read the article. We encourage everyone to become a subscriber to The Australian and pay for the article that was written by Will Magne's auntie about the release from Brisbane to the Pelicans and back again. Looks like it got a little bit testy, let's say. What was your reaction when you read it, Andrew?
Yeah, well, firstly, I'm not a subscriber to The Australian, but cleverly, I'm a subscriber to Apple All The Things. So if you have Apple Premier Plus, just give me everything Apple, you get Apple News as part of it, and The Australian comes as part of Apple News. So
nerd alert.
Get your Rupert Murdoch fix that way. Yes.
What was your reaction?
I was shocked. It was amazing to hear that the Bullets would act that way. It seems so short-sighted. So basically what they had decided is they weren't going to release. Yeah, you know, I'm trying to retell a story that's sort of, but basically, they didn't want to release him from the contract because they hadn't received a buyout payment that they'd expected. And so they said, well, we're expecting, we've budgeted for this buyout.
Sorry, buyout from the NBA, right?
From the NBA.
The Pelicans.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've budgeted for that in our revenue line. We're not getting it. So we're not going to release you unless you come up with the equivalent buyout figure, essentially, so to release the contract. So Will Magnay knew none of this. Beautiful family thing to do. Like, I remember this happened with me once when I crashed my car as a young fella, small crash. And I didn't think it, I thought it just sort of never came up as an issue. Turns out my parents talked to the other person whose car was crashed into and said, let's keep this on the DL and just sort it out and let's not bother Andrew, who's studying for his exams. Amazing parental care. Well, I think the same thing happened for Will Magnay here. His family gathered around and said, let's just let Will focus on the basketball.
How much was it? It was like 70 grand?
70 grand.
It's just a chunk of change.
So, yeah, and they were like, you know, one of the
But you know you're getting it back. You know, you could put it on a credit card and then just, if you know you're getting the money from the NBA eventually, you know, it's only a short-term loan.
But apparently, I mean, it's finding that cash. There was talk in the article about somebody trying
borrow
to...
the money. Sorry, borrow the money off Nimble at 1,000%.
Don't do that, people.
Don't do that. Short-term loans, read the fine print, much like Magnay's agent probably should have in the first place. But you were saying, Andrew?
Yeah, so your family were talking about, you know, selling vintage cars or something like that. Now, the one thing I didn't really notice, or maybe I sort of tuned out two-thirds of the way through the article, which is always a dilemma. Did they actually go through with making – I don't think their family actually in the end had to pay the money. I think something
I don't believe so.
Came up. So that
the way
is,
I read it was no.
Yeah, that's – I didn't think the article was particularly well written, but which is harsh because she was a very
European correspondent
journalist with the the Murdoch Empire. So maybe I'm being a bit harsh.
Yeah, I had a similar reaction because what kind of threw me off was the fact that I'd listened to The Huddle with Liam Samaria and John Casey. Really good episode.
Yeah, that
despite,
was.
Despite this minor criticism about that. But John Casey was like, you know, the Bullets, they handled themselves with a glass. I was like, whoa, John, no. I just read, you know, he was obviously jumping the gun a little bit, but that didn't turn out to be the case. It's a weird thing. We talked about this in our episode where we used the word cuck about 5,000 times, where we were talking, what this NBL-NBA player relationship, it seems to go very well in the well-trotted, well-carved out pathway of the next stars, and then everything else is a slurry. I've heard the Terrence Ferguson thing years ago was an issue. I've heard who else? Oh, Magnay most recently. Oh, Mitch Creek.
Yeah.
So, like, what is the standard form here, and where does the blame kind of lay? Sounds like the NBL itself didn't have a lot to do with this. Sounds like the blame is sort of club, player. Is it agent's fault? Like, where is the NBA being greedy? Like, what is the relationship? That's what I'm trying to work out.
And where's it must have happened at a management level of the Bullets. Because if you think about it, aren't the NBL themselves a stakeholder of the Bullets franchise? Do they still have an ownership stake?
And I believe so.
Aren't there a bunch of NBA players who own part of the Bullets as well?
So Kevin Martin amongst them, yeah.
Surely none of this went to that ownership, you know, level. Now, I don't know what their terms of ownership are. Do they actually have a say? Are they silent or what have you? Yeah. But it seems like there was no sort of board oversight, almost that it was an issue created by management.
I mean, it's, having said that, though, it's not an unrealistic request of the Bullets to say, you are buying out our player, we want the money. In a world of electronic transfers, you should do that immediately or thereabouts. We want the money. We want the security of the money before we release them. It's not an unrealistic. It's not an unfair request to the Bullets. I think it's a little bit unfair of them to turn to the family and then say, "Well, you know, fingers. Let's pony up the dough." That is the interesting thing where the legality comes into for me. Have the Bullets management turned to Magnay's family and said, "You know, pay the piper."
Yeah,
or we're going to delay this. That's where it gets a bit dodgy. But in the first instance, Brisbane saying no, we want a buyout. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I just think, I think what it comes down to is if this is going to be more of a pathway now, if we're going to start to get, see NBL used as a pathway to the NBA, I think there needs to be some sort of collective bargaining union,
totally agree,
league. Like, this is the way that we manage this arrangement. And you come to the table, kumbaya, and you figure it out as a standard method
Yeah.
By which he's done.
Because it's a huge deterrent to guys like Will Magne, who are borderline NBA, boomers, you know, Landale, like guys like that. Like they're the guys you really want to come back and have the NBL as their base if the NBA doesn't pan out. If a flutter gets around that, oh, hang on, the NBL is actually difficult to deal with. I mean, from an NBA context, oh, the NBL is a bit difficult to deal with in these clubs or whatever. Yep. That, and you lose that sort of upper echelon quasi boomer talent. That's a really bad result for the NBL and its clubs. Really
yep.
bad.
Yep.
So it definitely needs to change. The other thing that came out of this is like the only players that seem to do well are players who are signed with Moldovan and what was Lighthouse Sports and is now Elite Sports or something. He's joined that American company. They seem to do well. Like Pinder's getting his money in minutes. Giddy's doing great. Like they're all looked after. Mahava King, perhaps the one exception. But, you know, I think Oliver's with them. He's now signed a 10-day contract. Yeah, there you go.
See you later, wife. Looks like you're fine. I'm out.
Yeah, let's just put that on this. That was a bit interesting. Yeah, I think there was a bit of the Cans thought, you know what, we can get out of his deal, not have to pay him the rest of the way, bring in Venky, we save a bit, you get to chase that dream. I wonder if he'll be back. It certainly spells, when you get a sniff of the NBA, or well, not you, the editorial you, but when a player gets a sniff of the NBA, wouldn't he be tempted to just join the G League or...
Pretty tough to go back to far north Queensland, isn't it?
Well, I don't know what the money is on. If the money's good, the money's good, but... Once you get a sniff, once you get a taste, it's Baskin Robbins. You know, you end up buying a cone. That's why they give you this free sample. Yeah. But going back to Magne.
Yeah.
Him signing with Perth, what was your initial reaction? Were you kind of like, competitive balance is thrown off? Or were you just, you know, pleased to see him return? Where were you at?
Well, look, yeah, I live in Perth, right? So I was, as a Perth Wildcats supporter, I was like, yeah, right. As a league watcher, it was like, well, it was either always going to be Perth or Melbourne. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anybody else in the hunt.
Nah.
And no. So it was like, Brisbane, well.
Maybe the team he's signed a 2-year contract with. tell me, though, who would he have been, like, if he'd signed for Melbourne?
Yeah,
would you have thought that's a better fit? That moves the what? Who would Magne have moved the needle more for? Perth Wildcats, Melbourne United.
Oh, I would say Perth. I think he's a centre, right? And Landale's a centre, so you would have that natural tension, and then you've got Luala Chul, who is a
good point.
Is a scoring centre. You need to give him time as well. So I think it would have cluttered their front court up a little bit too much. Whereas I think for Perth, it just shifts Mooney to a power forward and. He can slot in at centre and away you
go. Huge power play. And the one thing I want to say most about Magne is he brings this dynamic of I'm not hugely sold on Magne. Like, I don't think he's a you know, definitive player. Like if he was the best player on an NBL team, you're still around 500, like he was at Brisbane when he was at Brisbane.
Yeah.
But with the Wildcats, I just see him in pick and rolls with Cotton and the lob threat. Like we were talking about this at the start of the year. The Wildcats were grounded. It's Mooney, it's Wagstaff. Like these, and well, Mooney kind of showed some ups on the weekend, but he's still not that like real long, lanky, grab it. You know, Magne is that guy.
Yeah, which is what Plumlee was as well. Plumlee
yes,
was
Yes, exactly.
That.
And he changed things. Like how well did Nick Kay slot along him? But Magne, that lob radius, I can see him picking for Cotton. And did the defenders, like, that's why I think Cotton had that bad shooting slump, because defenders were kind of able to double him or blitz him a bit better. And there wasn't, you couldn't just throw it up to Mooney.
Yep.
Whereas Magne, you just put it somewhere up on the square and he's going to go up and get it. So teams have to drop off defensively. So I think he's a huge get. I think that's pretty obvious. And, you know, Travers, Bairstow, unproven. And now this guy comes in and. Yeah, I did feel a little bit bad. I was like, this is bully ball from the Wildcats. They've obviously paid him well.
It was all the import money they set aside, you know? So it would be on good coin.
Melbourne screwed up, not using that second import. They need, I really thought they lacked toughness on the front line, especially with Jack White gone. But, you know, Jack White got hurt. You know, they sat on their hands. They made a huge mistake. Huge mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't need another center. They need, like you say, a power forward, Jack White replacement. They need John Mooney, you know.
GJ Kennedy, like someone who can go out and finish off plays for you, grab 8 to 10 rebounds, play tough. You sent me a message. They look soft. and whiny, didn't you think?
Oh, so much. Yeah, just everything. It was like, oh, it's not fair. Mom. Yeah. They're being mean to me. I just didn't like the body language, didn't like the attitude.
And to me, Joao Achiuwa was on, he was at one end only, and it wasn't the defensive end. He didn't grab rebounds. He wasn't, I just thought, gee, like Mooney looks at him and Mooney can shift that guy. You know, if they're in a final series, Mooney's going to grab his 15 rebounds, and that's critical. Yeah. That's absolutely critical.
It was amazing watching Melbourne go up against Perth and then watching them against the Phoenix, and it was like two different teams. They could get what they wanted against the Phoenix, United could. Against Perth, they were dictated. You know, so it was just really interesting to see in the course of a few days what a difference the opposition makes.
Totally. Yeah, it was. It was night and day. I want to ask you this question, though. Does Magne and the Wildcats' recent form, are they a lock? Are they a lock for the championship?
No.
I think they're a lock. You say no. I think they're a lock. I would be willing to bet. I have put a bet on at the start of the year when they were at $10+.
Oh, hello.
You bet a couple hundred bucks. It's, you know, you got to wait a whole season to earn your money, so it's not really that great. But I would be willing to, I'd be willing to bet my life that they win. I'm that confident.
It's hard to see how they wouldn't win over a 5-game series, but when there's a 2-horse race, you know, anything could happen.
Do you think it's a 2-horse race? Why do you say it's a 2-horse race? Because I just, after this Magne signing, especially the keeping away of Magne, who would have been a great rebounder for Melbourne, and just how good John Mooney is, and Cotton obviously was exceptional the last couple of games. I don't see this. Tell me where Melbourne have the advantage.
Oh, jeez. All right.
Let's go through it. I've got my list here, and you tell me where they have the advantage.
Okay.
Is Vickerman a better coach than Gleeson?
No.
Not even close. Some of Vickerman's rotations have been nothing short of wacky. Okay, let's look at this front line. Mooney or... Okay, you were saying?
Yeah,
No, sorry. I was going to say
point guard. Oh,
whoop. Sorry. That's Dean Vickerman. That's what we were meant. Hello, Dean. Yeah, wacky. That's right. All right, hang on, I got to go. You were saying?
Yeah, okay. So they might Melbourne might have Perth at point guard. I'm really liking Mitch McCarron's game this season. So
I think he's too polite. I think he's too polite. I think he's too share the ball. He's an aggressive player, and I don't think he's playing his true nature. I think he's capable of much more.
Yeah. Okay.
But let's go through this. Landale or Mooney?
Mooney.
Who is it?
Mooney's going to... Mooney owns Landau. Like,
owns him.
Just totally.
Man, Mooney's like a bigger, thicker Dane Pinot. He just shifts people out of the way.
Yep.
All right, so that's that one. I think we both agree there. Barlow and Travers / Bairstow, whichever one you want to pick.
Well, Bairstow didn't get a game. He's been shunted off the roster. So if that stays that way...
Of course. Travers then. Who would you rather have? Travers or Barlow in a 5-game final series, because that's critical as well. A young kid,
you got to take that into it. Travers, yeah.
Want a Travers? I think it's very close. You think it's close, or are you very
it's,
much?
It's
on
close.
The
you're getting two different things with Travers. You're getting enthusiasm and like bounce. You'll block a few shots. He can get up. Barlow, you're getting a knockdown shooter.
I think you can argue either way. Even if we call it a split, okay. So Perth still have the advantage in two places.
Yep.
Chris Golding or Cotton? They're both guards.
Wow.
Obvious Cotton. Answer.
Cotton.
And by a margin deeper than the Mariana Trench, Mitch Norton or McCarron? I think we're both going McCarron, but it's not a huge departure. Like Mitch McCarron's had Mitch Norton games, you know, the 8 points, 4 assists. I don't think the chasm between them is huge. It's a difference. But
And Norton does what he needs to do on the team. He controls the team. He doesn't look to score. He locks down the defensive end.
Yeah, like, I agree.
He sets the tone. That's his job, and he does it well. So it's hard to compare exactly. Mitch McCarron, but geez.
Let's go Mitch McCarron. I'd say Mitch McCarron by a healthy margin, but nothing ridiculous. And then Blanchfield, and take your pick out of who plays well out of Barber, McDaniel, or Hobson.
Yeah. Well,
you'd rather have Hobson on potential, but on form, you'd rather have Blanchfield.
Yeah, the way he's playing, five threes over the last game.
Smacking him.
And is like getting inside, doing all the things that Tarico White didn't do. So, yeah, you take Blanchfield.
So the Wildcats are winning four of the five spots on the floor. Let's say Barlow's a win for Melbourne. Take it.
Okay.
4-1. Gleeson outcoaches Vickerman routinely. So now they're 5-6. And then you say, okay, Barber's a bit of an upgrade. Is he though? Would you rather have Wagstaff in a situation? Barber's a young professional. And here's everyone says, oh, Melbourne's got this depth. I don't see it. I don't need to, don't worry about the depth.
I like
worry
Pete,
about what's up front.
I like They've Peatling. Got, Peatling's
you,
good.
In a 5-game series, you put your money on Peatling? Yeah, I'll take that money. I will take it. It's already spent. I would spend the money before I even had it in my mitts. And they've got Sam McDaniel in the starting lineup. So don't worry about the depth. What have you got up front? Worry about the storefront before you worry about cleaning up the warehouse.
We
I'm not
Dave
sold
Anderson.
At
they
all.
Got Dave Anderson now.
Oh, sorry.
JLA and Dave Anderson. It's going to be an offensive juggernaut.
JLA's just got this crazy green light. I don't know what they're thinking. I see Perth as a lock. I really do.
You know what? I'm convinced you've sold me. Perth Championship. 3-1.
And the thing is that the one chance that United have was this sort of rugged, you know, import four could have amalgamated things. That's now out the door. But even if they brought that guy in, you know, this team cannibalizes its imports. Hobson's only now just starting to play well, but they're clicky on offense. I don't get. And Chris Golding, he's been relegated to a chucker. We're quite critical of him, but we still think he's a good player. We still think he can do more.
Yeah.
And he was frustrated where he's getting the ball just, late in the shot clock and jacking it
just
for
just throwing it up. Yep. Yep.
That's not putting him in the best position, Dean Vickerman. Nothing convinces me about this team.
No, they seem to run everything through Landau or JLA. Like they've got
when JLA is on the court, he shoots it every time he catches it, and that is okay, and he scores it a bunch. But he's not. That's not going to beat the Perth Wildcats.
No.
And the issue for me is they play good defense. They play really good defense. But you're not going to out-defend the Perth Wildcats. You have to be able to score. Look at that Adelaide team that beat them. You have to be able to defend quite well, get it off the backboard, and go and score easily. And you have to set the pace, and by that, a high pace. And I don't think Melbourne can do that. Melbourne's best offense is when Landau runs the court and they get a dunk. When they're in the half court, they can't score.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, that's what I think. Going back to Perth. So few teams had the Perth Wildcats in the top four. And I think what I'm getting at here is I think a lot of people had them either low in the top four or missing the top four because people hadn't scouted Mooney properly. And we spoke about this again at the start of the year where it's like,
I'm guilty.
How do you
that.
Scout these guys? How do you? I watched one game and thought, he's going to rebound. He's going to grab 10 to 15 rebounds. Five of them will be offensive. That means he's a double-double just on those merits. If he can shoot at half decent, he's getting to 15 and 10, and that's their game. And they've replaced Nick Kay, and they're going to win. But, that's the question I'd have for, like, Liam Sanmarie and things. How do you make sure a guy like Mooney, who that's the reason why this team was underrated, it doesn't happen again? And I don't know what the answer is there. Like, are there scouts you can talk to? What do you have to do in the media to be better? That's my question to you, Andrew.
Yeah, it's a tough question. I don't even know if I have an answer, but my only thing I've got to say on that is I kind of like it. I like the days. I liked it when you used to get imports in and you have no idea what they'd be like. And you'd get there back in the olden days, you'd have the Pacific Shrink where they'd be listed as 6'9 and they'd get off the plane, they were 6'3. It's kind of this great unknown. I like the fact that we had an import player who came in and sort of just snuck under the radar.
Under the radar, big time. Jesus.
But I don't know.
I looked at his numbers, man. He was so many double-doubles in college. I was like, everyone went gaga for Landau. And he's a good player, but I was like, you know, Landau went to St. Mary's. This guy's from a big-time school. I had a quick chat with Sam Vecini on the Twitter. I was like, how did Mooney not get a sniff in the draft? Like, just – he just rebounds so well.
Yeah.
And whether he's athletic or not, it's kind of like in that move. Oh, you were saying, Andrew?
Yeah, I reckon it's perception. I think it's like, like a white guy who rebounds the ball. Like, it doesn't set your heart aflutter.
College. Let's see what happens when he goes up against NBA bodies. Well, maybe you do fine. Maybe you do better. I don't know. But it's like that scene in Moneyball where it's like, oh, he's a good hitter. He can hit well. It cracks off the bat. And then Billy Bean, Brad Pitt's like, if he's a good hitter, why doesn't he hit good? Why doesn't it show up in the numbers? And Mooney is the counter opposite to that, where like, oh, he rebounds really well, but oh, he won't go well in this ephemeral in the game he's never played, he won't rebound well. But, you know, he's rebounded well everywhere he's been. Why would the NBA be any different? Didi Luzada's sitting on the end of a bench somewhere. You know, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But, where do you want to go next? Or unless you've got a point to make.
No, look, that's a good conversation. I think you've really sold me on the... I can't say the Perth Wildcats going to win at all. Do you know what? Do you know how much hate the Perth fans get? And I'm like, am I a Perth fan? I don't know. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not, but I'm not one of those sort of Perth fans. But if I'd come out and said the Perth Wildcats are going to win the championship, oh my goodness, this podcast would have been destroyed.
Just lit on fire. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to deflect? Let's deflect. Let's go something else.
Let's just quickly talk Adelaide and specifically
Josh. No, that was my next off point. I said, do we owe an apology to the Adelaide 36ers? Wow.
No, we don't. We don't owe them an apology because they're still not going to make the finals. Or maybe they are. Maybe they are.
Have you got the figures in front of you? Where are they out of the ladder?
I don't have them right in front of me.
I'll quickly click along. But why did you want to talk about the Adelaide? What do you want to say?
Well, look, I think they're starting to have a personality. The team is starting to sort of demonstrate what they are and what they're all about. Josh Giddey, like, he's gotten those two triple doubles that everybody's quite excited about. And good for
Andrew,
him, right?
Andrew, numbers with two numbers. In three different things. Wow.
It's crazy.
Oh, I know, right? In a 40-minute game when you play 34 minutes. How is it possible?
Like, yeah, fair play to him.
He's good.
What was I doing when I was 18 years old? I think I was delivering pizza, right? Okay, so fair play, Josh Giddey.
You were ending world hunger. That's another way to phrase that, okay? Much more noble pursuit.
That's right. I was earning real money the hard way. It was a long time ago. So Josh Giddey, he's playing real well. It seems like the team is now on the same page. They've got Isaac Humphries back. The only person who's missing out in this whole thing is Jack McVay. I think now Adelaide, Brandon Paul, they've got, what's his name? Donald Sloan? The other guy.
Crocker.
Crocker, sorry.
He's been good. He's
solid.
Been serviceable.
He's just a reliable jump shooting forward. Yeah, that's okay. They've got DJ's just gonna hit shots. You know, so I think
not playing any defense, but he'll hit some shots. Oh yeah,
that's why they got Humphries. So it's they're doing good things. I still question their coaching. Record. Their coaching is the big question mark.
Here's their record. Now we've given them some love. Let's rein this back in.
All right.
They've played 29 games, the most amount of games played by a team in NBL 21. They've won 13 games. They've lost 16. There's no games behind in this damn thing. So 44%. So they're what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're seventh in the top four. Southeast Melbourne occupy that fourth spot. They got a 50-50 record, 14-14, with a game in hand. They've got one extra win and a game in hand. I haven't looked at the Adelaide run home, but I know they played Perth a couple of times. I know it's not an easy schedule because they played a lot of Cairns at the start of the year, if you recall.
Yep, that's
right.
And
Brisbane and things. They're not going to make the finals. So we don't owe them too much of an apology. But what I will say is this. I thought they were definitely going to tank with Giddey. I thought we were going to see Illawarra Hawks 2.0.
Yep.
We haven't seen that. They've gone out. They've got Paul. Crocker's been okay. You know, Humphries and Johnson. They've actually been serious about building the team. They haven't been totally cynical, which I appreciate. You know, Giddy's gotten big minutes. Like, this season is definitely about him. They would rather miss the playoffs and him do well than the opposite, which is still, you know, not the mindset you want as a team. But it's been fun. And I guess Humphries is the guy we were down on, but I don't know if we owe him too much an apology. I mean, he's missed 10 games.
Yeah.
You know, and then they lost most of them. Like, he needed to be on the floor and he wasn't. Yeah, he got hurt, but, you know, you can't curse the clouds. You can't raise your fist at, you know, it's, you got hurt. And that's, you know, that means he hasn't been on the floor. So, but Connor Henry still does some bizarre things. Pinder had a good game. I think it came against Cairns, so that doesn't really count. So, you know, we're still kind of, you know, semi on the money.
Joe, I don't know, man. I've just been looking at their fixtures.
What's their run home? Yeah, let's hear it. Go through it one by one.
So round 18, they've got Illawarra away. So Adelaide are away. And then they've got Sydney away as well. So New South Wales. They could win both those.
They could win, but let's say they split them. I'll keep track of win losses.
You keep track.
I'm going to split there. I'm going to say, yeah, split.
Okay, and then they come home for Illawarra again.
What do you want to do, win or loss?
They win that.
Win? Okay.
Yep. And then they're Adelaide at home against Perth. Give them a loss. Give them a loss on that one. And definitely. Then they're away to New Zealand at Christchurch in
big game.
In
I'm going to loss. I'm going to loss. Home team, the travel.
Yeah.
Who knows if Giddy's there.
Yeah.
I'm going loss. Even still. Like New Zealand are.
That's cool.
New Zealand are okay.
Okay. Then they go into.
2-3.
Then they're away to Illawarra again.
Oh, my God.
So that's a win.
No, they away to Illawarra.
Yeah.
The home team wins 60% of the time. You're taking a bad bet. You're taking a bad bet, Andrew Kenyon.
I'm making it exciting.
All right, okay. Tie it 3-3. Okay.
And then we're heading to the final round. Oh, this will be a fun one. Final round, they are away to Melbourne United. Of course that game's in Melbourne because Melbourne never leave Melbourne.
Yeah. Melbourne do not leave Melbourne. So we've had this talk.
That's a loss.
That's a loss. That leaves them with 3-4. That makes them 16-20. Not good enough.
Nah, not going to do it.
They have to beat Illawarra a bunch of times. A Brian Gorgian team, they'll split those games. No, I'm not.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Order's restored.
Order's restored. Come on. They're not making it, sure. I mean, but here's the thing. We had them as a lock for bottom spot. that hasn't happened. But, I mean, at least we didn't have New Zealand up the very top. Well, actually, I think you may have. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
COVID.
I have to put my foot in there. I had them finishing fifth. I didn't think they were going to be this bad because I thought Patterson was going to be on their team. But
yeah,
how you could look at that and go, oh no, they're going to, an NBL team's going to play all its games away from home. They'll be fine. No, that's not how sports works. They're going to lose on the road. They were on the road the whole year. And then Patterson drama and Iverson can't play. He can play, but not in the NBL. Carton killed him the other night, those pick and rolls, and he was dropping off. He didn't know whether he was coming or going. Bless his heart. Bless him. He had no hope.
He should have worn the other shoes.
He just should have worn socks, just done risky business out there. He would have had a bit of hope. Are we done with Adelaide?
Yep.
All right. I want to talk about this. We talked about Illawarra a lot in that schedule release. Man, Daniel Dell, you haven't spoken about this yet. Daniel Dell got released. That was weird. Did you see Gorgian's press conference?
I did.
He was like Kennedy. He was like JFK. he said, I'm an R. He was, this is Brian Gorgian. This is one of the best linguists we have.
Isn't that where Gorge said, look, the kid was broken.
Broken?
Broken.
What the heck does that mean?
Jeez, that sounds like that's a confidence thing to me. That's like he is emotionally destroyed. Me, Brian Gorgian, super coach, have destroyed this kid by making him do shell drills and suicides.
If he was hurt, like, and it was like, oh, injuries, you know, injuries got, man, everybody's injured. Okay, you're telling me Casper Ware's not banged up at this point in the season? You're telling me Bryce Cotton's not got niggles? If you take the floor, you're okay, or at least you make yourself okay. Like everybody hurts. REM, everybody hurts, man. So no, I didn't buy it, and I thought his answer was very evasive. And here's the thing. Here's the question that nobody asked. Brian Gorgian is the boom. Actually, you said this. This is what triggered in my mind. You said it. Like, oh, is Adele still going to come to the Boomers camp? And that's my question. Like, here's Brian Gorgian, coach of the Boomers. He has taken a young NBA fringe talent who's on the Boomers squad, and he hasn't got the best out of them. When you're the coach of the Boomers team, that is your job. You take young-ish talent, amalgamate it with older talent. You get the best out of a young player like an Adele, a Simmons, a Thibault, whoever else, a Giddy, maybe not this year, but down the road. You have to do that. And Brian Gorgian's just whiffed with a Boomer.
Yep.
Now it's sort of sacrilegious to say, well, that's not a good look, So I'd like the truth with this Adele thing. I want to know what's going on. What do you think?
I'd love to know the truth. I don't think we're ever going to get told the truth, and there's probably two or three different versions of the truth.
You can't ask Gorgian. Brian Gorgian. fall at the feet, kiss the ground. Look, I'm kind of like, this is a blemish on his, you know, this is Dang Adele. This guy played in the NBA. He should give you more than 5 points at 20%. Maybe you didn't, you know, maybe the structure wasn't right for him. You weren't able to look at a player and get the best out of him. So I have my questions. I have my doubts.
Yeah, I mean, I always have interpreted Gorgian as very much like a my way, the highway kind of dude. And now he looks like he has mellowed on return. But I still think that ultimately there's, if you want to play on my team, you've got to do the work and you got to put in. And I just think maybe, and this is just totally hypothesizing, or I got no evidence, but I just reckon he's the kind of guy who didn't want to do the hard yards. And I think
Dang Adele.
And I think maybe this is a generational schism, you know, where maybe Gorgian could, you know, people of my era, your era, now you're a bit younger than me, I don't know.
A bit younger.
You know, you could push those guys, whereas this generation, they're used to being loved and mollycoddled. How about that, get off my lawn?
I like that. Let me just stop the rocking chair for a second. Dang Adele. I mean, right now, I was about to say Dang Adele made it to the NBA. He must be good, but Lazada's there, so that kind of counters that. But, you know, this kid can play in G League and things like that. Like, there is talent there, and I just think the system wasn't right for Adele. And Gorgian was like, well, you know, this is what we're running. And, you know, and that's it. And you let your marquee signing, a guy you needed to hit on, whether right and wrong is irrelevant. You needed that guy to hit.
Yeah.
He was meant to be your wing scorer right now. Unless Harvey puts the ball in the hole, no one can do it. So whether it's he was lazy, you know, whether it was bad attitude, skip, whatever, man, you're about to bumble out of the finals because you just haven't got the bodies. You haven't got the scoring punch and you needed it. So
it was a real hit, swing and a miss.
You take your morals to the grave, Andrew. You take your morals and principles to the grave.
Do you think we're going to see him back in the league this year?
Adele?
Will he pop up somewhere?
Honestly, I think Gorgian put it best. Man, he's broken. this league, why would he want to resign? Where does he make sense?
Sydney.
Sydney need bodies, good point. He does make a lot of
short,
sense there.
It's a short trip, just up the highway. I just think he may be broken, but he's got to do some reparation works now, because where's his next gig going to come from? They're going to look at his stats and go, yeah, right, mate. Like,
the agent will say, no, it was a feud. The coach is a bad guy. You spin all that stuff and you're back in. But I think actually signing with another team decreases his value, because then it's like, well, now you've got no excuse.
Yeah, you don't want to stuff it up. Maybe he goes to he's Australian. Maybe he goes to New Zealand. Look, Tom Abercrombie has just had a hammy. Levi Randolph's in and out. I don't know where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
Their season is basically cooked. Maybe you just...
You know what? I'm listening. We'd have to look at prices, but I'm listening. But no, I don't think he resurfaces. I don't think we ever see him again in the NBL. I think he's tortured. I've never seen someone play quite so badly. He's really poor. Done with Adele. Where do you want to go?
Yep.
The run home. Just
while
we're
the run home. I'm just looking at this. Who's going to make these finals?
I'll ask you this question first, though. Who do you think is going to finish top, Perth or Melbourne?
I have, without looking at the specific
I will say this, games, while you're thinking about it, I believe Perth and Melbourne play each other twice, both in Perth.
Okay.
I could be wrong about that. But
I think Perth will get over the top. I think they'll finish on top.
They've got a tough run. I was shocked. I was like, oh, shit, I thought Perth did all their travel already. They got a tough run home.
Just based on watching the two teams over the last few weeks, I think Perth are in a better position to win games at the moment than Melbourne. But so I'll pick them for top spot.
And here's the other thing I'll say about Perth, and this is a minor thing, but COVID, remember that news recently where guys who were – whose contract expires at the end of this year aren't being paid right now or paying a pittance.
Yep.
That's not Mooney. That's not Cotton. You know, your two best are taken care of.
It is Clint Steindl, and it shows.
Wow. Who would you rather have on your list, Denga Dell or Clint Steindl?
I'll take Steindl. At least he seems like he still tries. I don't think he's missing intentionally.
You know, what's going on in Melbourne? Like, are guys all getting paid? Like, Chris Golding's okay. He signed a 3-year deal. I think Mitch McCarron was out of contract. He opted back in, so he's one of them. You know, just planting the seed of there's more than just the bouncing ball in the equation here. There'd be a lot of discontent over that, but not so much at the Wildcats because, you know, those imports are taken care of.
Yeah.
And they set the standard, obviously Cotton in particular. So you think, I'd have to look at the schedule again, but I'm pretty sure that Perth play Melbourne. This schedule is so hard to read on the website, but twice and at home, and they're worth two. And if it's two at home, that's it. Perth win those two games at home against Melbourne, and they jump up to top spot. But it is going to be a tough run. Yep. But let's look at the others: Sydney, Illawarra, South East Melbourne. Do you think we just spoke about Adelaide before? You don't think Brisbane are a legit top four threat, do you?
Well, I mean, BJ Johnson is going to have to. Oh, he's going to have to.
Lamanis is out. This Magne deal, you know, guys like I think Drimmick signed a 1-year deal. No, maybe they signed 2-year deals, but yeah, maybe they're not getting paid with the COVID. I don't like this team.
Yeah,
I haven't liked them for a long time since they lost Law. A new import at this stage of the game, unless he's an absolute, you know, Ennis like stud.
Yeah, I don't think so. So let's put a line through Brisbane. I think we're sort of both saying, yeah, that's likely. Okay. So we've
got Sydney, Southeast Melbourne, and the Hawks.
They're all jokes. What's the point?
Jokes.
What's the point?
You're saying jokes. Laughter is induced.
Except for top two. This is pathetic.
You gotta pick one. Gotta pick you gotta pick two of those.
Sydney, they are doing great work with lack of talent. Okay?
Yeah, I gotta hand it to that team.
So get in the finals. You've earned it. Just, you know, by pure, like, grit.
Mm. Here's the thing. You know they have a game plan that they play to and they try. And I can't say the same for the other two.
No.
Certainly not Southeast Melbourne. Illawarra, I think, play hard. I do think that. They just have got no scoring talent outside of Harvey. None. Right. Their games are in the low 70s. They're brutal to watch.
Yep.
Other than Harvey. If he doesn't have the ball, don't watch.
Yeah.
Sydney, but give it to me straight now. Sydney, Southeast Melbourne, Illawarra, who's making it, who's not?
Okay, so Sydney's making it and Southeast Melbourne are going to make it.
Oh, barely. With you, but geez.
They're so bad.
This team, they've just, they're, would you call them soft?
They're soft. Nobody wants to play defense and nobody wants
Landau put up, every big guy puts up career nights. Landau had a top scoring night against them. Mooney absolutely killed them when they played earlier in the year about 6,000 times in the opening round.
Yep.
They just, big guys just destroy this team.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Southeast Melbourne's record, right? They've got, what, three of those wins against the Wildcats early when the Wildcats were different then. So keep that. So that's sort of a bit inflated, that win column. They're just ordinary, man.
And the wrong guy's taking the wrong shots. Like Mitch Creek only shooting it six times in the past two games. 12 shots, two games for Mitch Creek. Mitch Creek is the best import, best local in the NBL.
Yep.
Use him. He is a star player and he doesn't play well. He doesn't get the ball. And you've got Adnam jacking it up.
Adnam. He believed his own hype, man.
Yeah. People stroked him too hard and he exploded. Pardon the pun. You got to rein him in. He's taking some crazy shots.
Liafa's above. Sorry, I keep cutting you off. Him. I'm so excited. But Liafa's, I reckon I'll put him above Adnam in the rotation now.
Mm.
I like him.
Adnam's been on a big skid, but they're hurt, man. Like Kiefer Sykes just came back. Pano's still out. Who else is that? Oh, Brokoff. Talk about snake bit. He's played like two games, 20 minutes, and then he gets smacked in the face and this and that. Think about his run of injury luck. So he has that bad timing with the birth of a child, but you know.
Yeah.
Not the best timing for the World Cup, and then the NBA kind of falls through, and then COVID, and then he comes over here, and he's back, and his arm, and he's hurt, and then he gets smacked in the face. Like, oh man, this guy can't catch a break. And he was just starting to see the ball. He had that one sort of 20-point game, and now we don't ever see him again.
Yep.
Or not anytime soon. So They need to work something out. I want to ask you about this. Simon Mitchell. We love Simon Mitchell. Great guy.
Love him.
Is he the guy?
He's not. I don't think. I don't. I can't see him coaching this team to championship success. I think he's an awesome dude, but maybe he's not the best coach.
Like
he's great, good coach. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying
he's a good coach.
He's a chump.
But is it a bit premature? Like he just seems to me a great assistant coach.
Yeah,
super likable, super friendly, super lovely. But that team has just, you know, Mitch Crete, 25 field goal attempts, then 6. Play some defense, not play some defense. Beat Perth, then lose by 30. Like, where's your consistency game to game? If he's, forget us in our opinion, when he goes to Tommy Greer, his boss, and the boss is like, why are you so, you know, what's the game plan here? Why isn't there some sort of consistency to our game? You know, like, if you're a chair maker, you make chairs. Why are we all of a sudden doing something different? And I don't think he's got an answer for Tommy Greer in that respect because the game plans are just so wildly different game to game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Ben Moore, all season long we've heard that Ben Moore is a great guy. Once he gets used to the league, he's really going to dominate. He's not dominating.
There's 9 games left. He's seen 3/4 of the season. I think he is what he is, but who's going to step up and play D for that team? Oh, looking at their run home, you tell me who wins these games. Okay. Southeast Melbourne, they're 14-13. The fact that they've got a game in hand is what's saving them right now. And now they lost to Adelaide for Sydney.
14-14.
14-14, pardon me. What is Sydney? 14-15?
14-14.
Okay. Oh, geez, I thought they had a buffer. Oh, God. Okay, you tell me which games they're winning.
All right.
So they just lost to Melbourne.
Yeah.
So they're 14-14. New Zealand at home. No guarantee, is it?
No, no. I'll give them a win just because New Zealand are banged up.
Okay, you keep a tally. Cairns at home, surely win.
Cairns at home, yeah.
They Brisbane on the road.
It's tough. I've got to give them a win though. Like,
Me too.
Okay, I'll give them the win.
New Zealand on the road.
Okay, that's loss on that one. They got to lose.
Melbourne on the road. That's a loss.
Loss.
Cairns at home.
Win.
Brisbane at home.
Another win.
Win. So let's say, yeah, they want to hope they beat Brisbane on the road.
So that takes them to 19-16.
That gets them through, surely.
Yep. Yeah.
That gets them through. And that's not hard. All they have to do is beat New Zealand at home, Cairns at home.
Yep.
They need a bit. Yeah, New Zealand, Cairns, and Brisbane at home. That's 4 wins. And if they just pick up one on the road, they need one of those away games and they're in.
Yeah. Only to be swept in the semis.
Wow. You think so. Illawarra. Here's their case.
All right.
Who do you want me to read out? Sydney or Illawarra? Who do you think has got a better chance of the two of them?
Oh, gosh.
Sydney. Listen to this. Sydney. They have 9. Sydney have 9 games left. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them are on the road.
Oh, jeez.
Brisbane, New Zealand, Perth, Illawarra. So they go Brisbane away, New Zealand away, New Zealand away, Perth away, Illawarra away, which is kind of not the worst away game.
You could potentially see them losing them all, right?
And they've got Adelaide twice. Well, Adelaide once, who they just lost to, and they've got Melbourne as well at home. Oh,
that's killer. Yeah. Killer. Okay. What about, have you got Illawarra there?
Illawarra, I've got the softest landing by far. Have a listen to this. Adelaide at home, New Zealand at home, Melbourne at home, Adelaide away, Cairns at home, New Zealand away, Adelaide at home, Perth at home, Sydney at home. That is 6 of their last 8 at home. 60% of the time, the home team has won an NBL 21. Surely.
All right. Based on that, we got Southeast Melbourne and Illawarra joining.
You'd have Melbourne to. Sydney, Perth. Bless their hearts, and they fight hard. But you cannot go on the road to New Zealand and Perth all in a row and come out with more than one of those wins. More than likely 3 losses. That's them done.
There you have it.
Sad.
You heard it here first. The final 4 of the NBL 2021. We've locked it in.
It's Perth, Melbourne, Southeast Melbourne, and Illawarra in that order. Sydney just missing out. Too bad. Sorry, Sydney. These things happen. Bad luck next year. They're my team. I know I rag on them, but they're my team. Where are we going now? Are we're kind of coming towards the end of things, but there is more to discuss.
I've got one. My fun
attendances.
Topic of the week.
Let's do this. Yeah,
it's not really attendances that I want to talk about.
I want to spew into attendances though. But you go. Okay. You take the floor.
All right. So I've been watching some games at home recently, and watching them all season around, played at different stadiums, and it's got me thinking. Let's do a power rankings of stadiums for TV viewing specifically. So okay. I'm not going to the game. I don't care what it looks like from a seat mm-hmm, in the stadium. Mm-hmm. I'm a Joe Average sitting on my couch and I'm going to watch a game of NBL. Which stadiums look the best for TV presentation? And so I did some work beforehand. I've come up with a ranking.
Yeah, I'll tell you whether I like it or not. Give me a ranking.
So I'll go in reverse order and I've remembered, I may be wrong, but I've got 9 stadiums that I could remember seeing this season.
We're not counting the Bendigo and all that. We're counting these stadiums.
I counted Bendigo. That's in my 9. Yeah.
Okay.
So number 9, we have the Snake Pit at Illawarra.
It looks a little dingy.
Looks dingy. It's the camera angle. Because you're kind of like the camera is real high up. So you're kind of looking down into the basket.
It's a real tilt. Yeah. No, not good at all.
I don't like that. So that's the worst.
And when they're shooting poorly, it's like looking down on a rope bridge across a canyon. It's not pretty. Yeah.
So that's my number 9. Number 8, Perth. Perth?
Not a great stadium on TV, is it?
Terrible on TV. So bad.
You've got blue and red. What a horrible color combination.
The contrast is wrong. It seems like they struggle with the lighting. It's sometimes a bit dim. Mm-hmm. It's hard. I struggle to see like the ball against the contrast of the rim because the rim's almost a weird orange rather than a more vivid color. So there's lots about Perth I don't like. I hate watching it on TV. I hate that stadium on TV.
Fair enough.
And too far away. The camera's too far away. Mm-hmm. Number 7, Bendigo. Well, you know, we only saw a couple of games there.
We're not going to bang on Bendigo. It's a small, they're doing their best. What's next?
Get rid of your netball court lines though when we're playing a game, please. Number 6, Launceston.
Gee, that rim. There's less paint on the rim than there is paint. unreal.
It was pretty ugly, but yeah, that wasn't great. Number 5, now we're getting into the good stadiums to watch for. It's just iffy, right? Number 4 and 5 was a bit of a toss-up. Mm-hmm. But I put number 5, Brisbane.
Yeah, there's stadium. The same charm to the Armoury, yeah.
I don't hate it, but there's just something about watching it on TV. It's a bit too bright.
It's a bit too bright, and I'm not mad about the people walking on that sort of platform above the rim on free throws. Like there's a couple people at like a dining table or a picnic table. I don't get that. Yeah.
And a lot of it looks like it's played in a shed. Like there's a lot of corrugated iron around the place.
Absolutely.
What is this? Is it
a lot of banners covering up things. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Number 4, Cairns. And specifically I'm thinking about the pop-up when I talk.
Yeah, I've never thought it was that bad, to be honest.
I quite like the angles. You know, you feel like you're close. You feel like you're right there watching it, you know.
It's true. It's true.
So courtside seats at Cairns, that's number 4. Number 3, Sydney.
I actually would have Sydney higher, but what do you like? What do you not like?
I think I like the contrast of the stadium's kind of a bit dark in the background, so you can see well. It has a nice colour scheme to it.
Yeah. Sometimes the lighting can be off. But when they get it right, it's a good spot on TV for sure.
The angle as well of you know camera to the court is quite good.
It's a big stadium. It's the biggest. It holds 17,000. It's a built for purpose basketball stadium. It's a good one. It's a good one to sit into.
Number 2, Adelaide. I like.
Yeah. Well, one thing I don't like is the scoreboard. Either it was or still is. It's near where the cameraman is, so when players look up at the scoreboard, they kind of snarl and scowl at the camera, but they're looking at the scoreboard. Have you noticed that?
That's a good point. Yeah,
that's one thing that is like, is that Dean Vickerman staring? Are you staring me down, Dean?
But I like it. They've gone for a real dark crowd look. You know, like
I love the blackout. Really bright
court. I like it. It's really clear. The angles, again, where they've got the cameras relative to the court, really nice. So Adelaide, well done. Your team may not be fun, but your court's good. But your decals.
They're the league worst, yeah?
League worst decals.
For sure.
Which leaves in number 1 stadium ranking, Melbourne.
Yeah, and Southeast Melbourne.
It's
got a nice vibe on TV. You're very right to say it. John Cain Arena.
It's beautiful.
It is. It's a beautiful stadium to sit in. And the seats are grey or black. And yeah, it's a good spot.
And just the angles and like the colour contrast. It's just everything about that stadium is awesome for TV.
Mm.
And having been there a whole once myself, I liked watching the game there as well. So underrated stadium. It's not sexy. Like it's no Perth Arena when you go out to the concourses, but it's awesome.
Yeah. People out there, if you like that list or have changes of your own, at NBL Pocket Pod or at Andrew Canyon, probably better to do it at Canyon. That's Canyon, C-A-N-I-O-N.
Andrew Canyon. That's right.
Speaking of sort of like stadiums and things, I think the attendances, we'll touch on this and then we'll get out of here. I watched Trash Talk with Peter Hawley and Felix von Hoff. And they were saying, yes, attendances are down. This is nothing to be unexpected. But they're especially down in Melbourne. They're down across the board, but especially in Melbourne. And don't get me wrong, you'd have to be daft not to think that these attendances were going to take a hit. But I'm pretty shocked at how big a hit some of these games are. Some Melbourne games have gone from sort of closer to 10,000 down to two.
Yeah,
two and a half. Amazing. That is a drop of, 70%. That is a, 50%, sure. I mean, the wages went down 50%. We're expecting 50, not 70.
Yeah.
It's a lot. What's been your reaction? Because Nick Tan, and a big hello to Nick Tan, who's very much on this, and I don't think he's doing it as a rub it in, wildcat. I think it's just a genuine funny and interesting, not funny, but an interesting sort of case study. What's your reaction to it, Andrew?
I would have thought that if you support a team, don't you sort of go anyway? Like you've bought season tickets and so you just show up game in, game out. So this says to me that there's a low membership base in these teams.
Very transient interest in Melbourne, like very casual fan that come and go with how well the team does, how well they're not doing. The NBL in Melbourne seems to me to be a convenience item.
Yeah.
I'm at the till. I'll grab a chocolate bar and a Melbourne United ticket. That's just what it seems. It's not like that in Perth. I don't even think it's really like that in Brisbane and smaller places. Like there seems to be at least a better fan base, or more reliable.
And I know there's a lot of talk about the footy, and I think Aussie Rules footy in Melbourne is something else entirely.
There's nine teams. It's crazy. I totally get that.
And they're rabid. They're rabid followers. Yeah. But I'm surprised that the crossover between footy and basketball is maybe as high as it is.
Mm.
I sort of thought maybe it's a different type of crowd, a different group of citizenry that attend basketball and football, but apparently not in Melbourne.
Well, the question I have, because I look at things that are really practical. Like I think above the footy and all that, what really defines whether someone buys a product is price point and convenience. And I haven't looked into the price point of a Melbourne ticket. I don't know whether it's high. I don't know whether it's low. And then also like John Cain Arena, if Southeast Melbourne play a home game at John Cain Arena, which they have, how convenient a stadium is that to get to for people from that metropolis? I wouldn't know. And because I look at that stuff before I look at, the footy's on or whatever else. If it's convenient and well-priced, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
So maybe there's an issue with those two things down in Melbourne. I'm not too sure.
What time is it? Is it dark now in Melbourne at like 5 o'clock?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
It's probably just that psychological motivation. Do we really want to go out in the nighttime? It could be the same time as summer, but you got the sunshine, so it doesn't feel it. Once you get home, And it's dark, and you think, stuff it.
People were really ragging on the weekday games. Like weekday games, even at the height of summer when everything's clicking, they're still rated poorly. Australians don't go out to sport. Like weekday night stuff is brutal.
Yeah.
Always have Monday night and things. It's just not a good look. But what I want to talk about is, that huge dip in the numbers. I mean, how do you recover from a year like this? This year, if attendances is how these clubs make their money, and it's down 70%. If you're a bakery and you have one whole year where your profit margins are down or your major moneymaker is down 70%, most would be dragging down the shutters for good.
Yep.
I have real worries about how you do that. And then how that tangibly looks like, what kind of money are these clubs going to have to get players? I mean, Melbourne have foregone their second import slot. You don't. So obviously, they know that that's the way to get better. They haven't done it because they can't afford it.
Yeah, yeah.
To not fill it with something, you know, like a, you know, a Crocker type player, you know, something in that mid tier import. They've just gone, no. We've put it into Landau. We don't have it there.
I think this whole season's where you got to say all the wealthy owners, you've just taken a big loss, and hopefully you can offset that as a write off against some of your other profit making ventures.
Exactly. You'd hope that,
and you just accept it as a lost. Permanent.
And the other thing I'd say is this is because the Wildcats, the one team that has maintained a pretty good numbers, is the Wildcats. Let's think about this. They have cut their wages by 50%, but their crowds have not dropped by 50%, not even close. I think their average is about 13,000. And most games, they're getting that sort of 10K plus.
Yeah, yep.
What's that a drop of? I can't.
3,000.
I have it as a drop of about 23%.
Okay. Don't make me do maths on the spot.
So think about this. Their wages have gone down by half. Their profit, their revenue in has taken a bit of a hit, but, you know, they've kind of made it on the back end. So my question is, and my worry is that the gulf between the rich and the poor this season gets even worse because the Wildcats haven't had the loss that the others have had, and they're just – and then the gap is really, really big. So my question is, and my worry is, what does that do to NBL parity?
Yeah.
If there ever was some in a soft cap league?
Are you proposing some sort of equalization tax?
No, I'm a big believer in finders keepers, losers weepers, but I'm just aware of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is something I was going to bring up with, I'd like to bring up with people in the NBL media is, do they need to do more of a job? Because I say more of a job of making the Wildcats the villain of the league, because they're the bigger brother. They're the big spender in a soft cap. You know, they've got all the power. They are the Goliath.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the bully. That's the bad guy. And that's a good marketing strategy to make the Perth Wildcats the absolute villain. They already are.
I was going to say, are they not doing that already?
They do it to a degree, but they're, I think they're subtle about it.
Yeah.
You know, you could just be like, just really push it into the red, and all those teams basically have an under the table agreement, like, we're all trying to beat the Wildcats. You know, just a thought.
Strikes me as kind of like the in the NFL, which I don't really watch or anything, but you've got there's a certain period of time, I don't know if it's still the same, where the Raiders, you know, they wore
the Raiders, yep.
They wore the black, you know, uniforms, and they were like the real bad guys of the league. You know, you knew you were in for a game when you had to play the Raiders. Maybe they sort of take that approach with the Wildcats.
Interesting. But, yeah, the gap would be different. Now, I think that's it. You got any other topics? I got one. We have a Twitter question that I want to get to, and then we'll go.
Okay. I don't have a topic. I've got an apology to our listeners, but do the Twitter question first.
Oh, you don't want to do the apology? What's the apology for?
Oh, well, okay. It's a little silly, but listening to your last episode, I realized that you went back to your ASMR ways. You're calm, you're cool, you're collected. Then you talk to me, you get me on the line. I'm all pumped up and I'm excited. There's no ASMR here. There's nobody falling asleep to the soothing sounds of Joe Corr.
Sorry, guys.
I apologize for that.
Here's our question. It's from Matthew Pittard on Twitter. He asks, NBL Pocket Pod, any chance in future episodes, and I got this 2 hours ago and we're doing it right now, could you break down each NBL team's relationship? Sorry. Any chance in future episodes you could break down each NBL team's relationship with the media? I have heard you comment a few times about the Kings and their non-engagement, but I'd like to know how each team is in terms of the media interaction. So first of all, I think we have a media accreditation here, but we're not NBL media, but I'm happy to talk about like our relationship with it. So Sydney, we'll come back to them. Perth are quite good. I had Cotton on here, and to get him on, I just approached their media manager. Emma was her first name, I believe. And she was great. And she said, I've been speaking to Bryce Cotton via email. We want to do an interview. And I go, just coming for permission. She goes, yeah, if you've worked it out with Cotton, you know, fair play to you, good luck. So that was a really interesting response. Cairns have been really good. I was going to talk to, I've had Jamie O'Loughlin, the assistant coach, on here. He was as simple as contacting actually through someone non, um, not in their media department, a mutual friend who put me in touch, and you know, they were great. I never actually spoke to their media people. I think I sent them an email afterwards saying, you know, thank you for making Jamie available, and they responded in kind. So they're pretty good. They also, at one time, were going to have was the other assistant coach. I think it's Brad Hill, but then he had wisdom teeth out, had to cancel. These things happen. Who else is there? Adelaide, I haven't had any contact with. I don't think I've ever asked, been in any contact with them. Melbourne, likewise. I don't think I've had any contact with them, but Max Becker's been on the program. He has a lot to do with Melbourne United, and they seem to give off a lot of players and things. I think they like to sort of know who their people are. I'm Sydney-based, so I think they like to sort of know their people in the flesh, to who they give their things to. Sydney are a bit difficult. They are a bit cagey. And again, if I can preface this by saying that none of these teams owe us anything. They are their own entity. They can do interviews, not do interviews. They're very welcome to say no. But, you know, Sydney are a little bit more, in my experience, come from a place of more, a bit more fear. The others are kind of like, no, it's not going to work for our schedule. Thank you, but no. Whereas Sydney is more like protection of the brand is more of an issue. And that's not a judgment. That's not a thing. That's just the truth of it. And good luck to them in that. But, you know, like guests, I know I've heard of in this here, but guests have been scheduled to come on and then sort of pulled at last minute, things like that. That's not uncommon. So, you know, it is what it is there. And then what teams have I left off, Andrew?
Brizzy.
Brisbane. Yeah, never been in touch. Never been in touch. They're a world apart from me. And that's about all my dealings with it. But Andrew, you've had a dip in the toe, not so much with teams. You've had more to do with the league. What would be your answer to who was it, Matthew?
Oh, look, you know, like you're more of a professional media participant than I am. Mm. But what I think most of the teams, I think, take their local news pretty seriously. Yeah, they usually have some sort of relationship with, you know, the journos and that kind of thing. I know here in Perth they're very good at that. They've been working on that for a long time, and they've got a good rapport with the, you know, we're one newspaper town, so that's easy.
With Lockie Reed and Channel 10, I think is the one.
Yeah. And then on, you know, they've got the West, you know, who they seem to have a pretty comfortable relationship with as well. Pretty easy, and I think that's probably the same in Cairns. I think you'll see a lot of you know, sort of the smaller town local newspaper sort of getting behind them and that kind of thing.
Cairns Post and that, yeah.
Yeah. What I would say is probably my take on NBL and the teams in general is I think what they haven't yet made the leap to is what we are doing, and that is the sort of the fan, if you want to call us that, the non-mainstream media and the actual level of influence that now has. Now, I don't just put us in that into podcasts. You need to think about, you know, sort of like the Instagram influencer world. There is not a huge one of those in the NBL that I'm aware of, but I think the NBL needs to start taking this kind of area more seriously. Where are the people watching? Is anybody still watching the 6 o'clock news bulletin? I don't think so. So I think they're investing a lot of time and effort into media that isn't necessarily paying off for your next generation of people, of fans. So that's not me. That's my theory. My working theory is that I think all the teams should start to take more seriously who are the people out there that are the actual audience are listening to and paying attention to, whether that's YouTube videos, you know, podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, I just think every team should have someone like their local, every team should have a podcast, right? And one that's, you click on the website and it's there and it's, you know, Sixers Fix or whatever. And you know, there's a couple already out there that you could pick up for each team and, you know, like support them in what they, if they're good and reliable, that's the thing as well. Like you got to be reliable and you can't cuss on the mic. We kind of cuss on the mic occasionally, but you know, you got to have people who you trust and are in there, but you know, support them, support you, maybe not even pay them, but just give them a little bit of access and a few things. I think that's a worthwhile arrangement. I think that would be good. But again, like, you know, what does a podcast help? Does a podcast really sell tickets? Like, do people out there listening to this, are we just preaching to the converted fans who have already got their membership? I think we might be. I don't know. But would fans listen to this and go, oh, I have to buy a ticket next week? I'm not convinced of that myself, so I don't expect the league to be convinced of that either. But, you know, the league is open. I mean, Kesselman, I sent him an email, said I'd like to have a chat with you. I'm in Melbourne at the time. He said yes, and then booked it in with his secretary. So you certainly don't get what you don't ask for. You know, the NBL is not going to search you out. You know, it's not looking. Not, I feel like I'm directing this at Matthew, but you know, the NBL is not just going to drag you out of obscurity and think, oh, I think that guy wants to do something, or that guy or girl. That's the other thing. I'd like a little bit more cross gender. Like this, basketball is a very egalitarian sport, not quite like tennis, but gee, pretty close.
Yeah,
I'd like to see an investment, an actual physical, proactive investment to get female voices doing what Andrew and I are doing right now. That I think is a worthwhile pursuit for a number of reasons. But would be my thing. You don't get what you don't ask for, but that's it.
Yeah,
But they've always been pretty good to us. I can't complain. We did press conferences when we had the time. It was great.
Yeah, yeah. Good question. Thank you.
Yes,
nice to get some.
Thank you.
See, this is the treatment we give our listeners. You know, they ask us a question, we give it back.
Do our darndest.
Yeah. So. Don't hold back. Send us a voice memo. Get your phone out.
We've been pushing voice this memo. Now. We've Come been, on. I'm undernourished. There was talk of this. People were getting really ramped up. Like, how do I do it? Oh, I don't know how to do it. Just send it in. Just put yourself on voice, even in horrible, if it's a phone call, if it's with an Apple microphone thing, whatever. Just put yourself on camera.
I spent hundreds of dollars on my audio equipment and setup, and I still sound terrible. So don't worry. It's fine.
We can fix it. It's all post. This is all Hollywood. This is makeup, smokes and mirrors. It's all a lie. It's a lie. Andrew, I think we're done.
We are done. I've loved being back as part of the show.
Oh, you know, the show takes on a whole new light when you're here. Actually, just before you go, because we've gone long now, we may as well just keep going. Is this a 4 games this round?
Yeah.
I'm quickly read them out, so you give me winners.
Okay, all right.
And if we disagree, we'll quit. Illawarra, Adelaide. Illawarra at home.
Adelaide.
Adelaide are going to win on the road? You're out of your mind. Southeast Melbourne are hosting New Zealand.
Southeast Melbourne.
I agree. Brisbane are hosting Sydney.
Brisbane?
Jeez,
I don't know, though.
Yeah, I'll go with that, too. Sydney looked really... Unless Cooks, but anyway, we're not going to talk about that now. And then Perth at home, Melbourne.
Perth. Is it a fun round?
Wow. Oh, shit. There's heaps of games this round. Southeast Melbourne, Cairns. Do them quick. Southeast Melbourne, Cairns.
Yeah, okay.
Brisbane, Perth. In Brisbane.
Perth.
Illawarra, New Zealand. In Illawarra again.
New Zealand.
Melbourne and Southeast Melbourne.
Melbourne. Sorry. Oh,
this is a massive round. Holy shucks. Sydney, Adelaide in Sydney.
Adelaide.
Wow. No, I got Sydney on that one. And Cairns hosting Perth. Perth win that one. I think you'd agree.
Yep.
That's us. We're done. Real pleasure.
See you, everybody.
See you next time.
Bye.